Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Welcome back to the Roma Press Podcast, everyone. We hope doing well. Dilly ding, dilly dong, Andy. Back, Claudio Ranieri. He has returned to Roma. We are recording this just hours after Roma made the official announcement, where they again unveiled it would be the third stint for Ranieri. Before getting into that, of course, all of our patrons who have been obviously and the ecstatic about this. Anytime you can appoint a 73-year-old manager, naturally our patrons are going to be ecstatic, even if there is a fairy tale sort of storyline to it. That doesn't matter. Naturally, again, everybody reacting very level-headed. Before getting into that, though, thank you to Mike Smith, our newest patron over at Patreon. If you would like to join patreon.com/RomaPress, get access to the episodes before everyone else, additional content such as news and updates, and also there is a merchandise tier where you can put your beverage of choice when naturally things continue that may or may not have been ripped off from the IS Roma official store. We may or may not have ripped off the design. It doesn't matter. You can get yours. Patreon.com/RomaPress. Dilly ding, dilly dong, Andy. He's back. I've said that at least five times. I was on a Leicester-based radio before doing this, and they asked me about the reaction, and in the question about my initial thoughts on Ranieri turning, he tried to work in, will Roma supporters be lamenting his return? Will it be sort of a Ranieri electric boogaloo? And it took every ounce of my being not to laugh, because doesn't that only work if it's the second installment? It's because it rhymes. It doesn't make sense if it's three. No, was I just not sophisticated enough to understand that it only works when we're talking about two? No?
I have no idea. You can never understand the English. I think it's very difficult. And I think Ranieri coming back will certainly cause a lot of commotion, you know. And this is what we are here for. Like, this is, you know, him returning for the third time, John. I remember very well when he came back the second time, because that was our first full season covering Roma together, and I remember even then that when he came back replacing Eusebio Di Francesco in 2019, that was already something that we interpreted as, wow, the homecoming, you know. And even then it felt like Ranieri was almost close to a final chapter in his career. And I, yes. and remember there was even a bit of a hint that he may have held it against Roma that they did not offer him a longer contract that very same year, when he understood that the club didn't want to go forward with him as the long-term manager. There may have been a hint of bitterness, but nonetheless, 5 years later, here we are. Ranieri is 73 years old. He has retired from club football.
We have to discuss that aspect of it. I mean,
it is incredible. So I just want to open this with this thought that, in my opinion, the Friedkins have won. Like, this, I'm not even looking at this as an appointment of what he can do on the pitch. Can he turn the situation around? Whatever. I'm looking at this from a purely PR perspective. I'm looking at this from purely the standpoint of someone who is observing the way this team has been spiraling out of control for the past several months. This is a Hail Mary. Remember that Hail Mary? What was it? Was it Aaron Rodgers that threw that Hail Mary years and years ago, and it was unbelievable, and it sent the Packers forward, whatever. That's a Hail Mary. What the Friedkins just did It was a successful Hail Mary because they were with their backs to a corner, to a wall, ready to be shot down by the fans. They didn't even stop in Rome. They went straight to London. And they made him
travel to London too. Some people were saying he lives in London. No, he doesn't live in London. He does not live in London.
No. He lives in Rome. He lives in Testaccio.
Yes.
It's wonderful to think that this is what they came up with, in the sense that, you know, the Friedkins have always been very much about the glamour and international and this and that, and we had heard so much talk and so many names. Nobody mentioned concretely Ranieri until the very last minute. Ranieri was always being mentioned as sort of like an additional guy that Roma would bring in case Daniele De Rossi were to come back. But then Claudio Ranieri coming back for a third time is exactly the storyline that Roma were waiting for. It's exactly the storyline that the Friedkins needed to survive. This takes so much pressure off of them. This and the fact that they are willing to make him a senior executive figure, quoting their official announcement, put him in a senior executive role at the end of the season as a consultant to help select the new long-term coach. That is,
I love that job title, by the way, because it means I will know I have made it at some point in life when a large firm. For you and I, we are named Salt, because that means
it can mean anything, John. I mean, the CIA is full of consultants, and usually they carry out hits. You know, so I'm just
I consult with my uncle Valentino when he wants to talk of who really shot Kennedy.
Exactly. Like, you know, those are the consultants. So, in this case, this is such a win for the Friedkins in a moment where I really doubted whether they could get out of this alive. I really mean it, because even bringing back someone like Vincenzo Montella would not have been good enough. Oh. Like, nobody, you know, after Daniele De Rossi, you know, former player, comes back as a coach, Vincenzo Montella would not have made the kind of impact from a PR perspective that someone like Claudio Ranieri has already had, because just look at the fact that there were fans waiting for him at the airport. Do you even know how many people were gathered outside Trigoria when Ivan Juric came in? Nobody. There was nobody. So that's what I'm
saying. He arrived completely anonymously.
Unwelcome. Yeah, anonymous, unwelcome. I mean, there were people waiting for Claudio Ranieri to return to Rome with a flight from London in a situation of this kind where the pressure really is on. And all of a sudden, you see it happen live. I mean, as soon as the notification came in, you saw people's opinion swing drastically. And then add to that today's announcement of him becoming a senior executive at the club at the end of the season, that even more propelled the fans to be like, oh, that's the right choice. I mean, even look at the media. Look at how many Capello, for crying out loud, the guy who lives off of pessimism and bitterness, you know, whose entire job now entails just being very pessimistic with that horrible, gravely voice of his. Even he was able to say something positive. You know, Ranieri coming back brings back all those guys, Sebino Nela, Giannini, Pruzzo, all those former players that do nothing but take shots at the club any chance they get, and sometimes rightfully so. Now they can't help but be back on board, the same way they couldn't help but be back on board with Daniele De Rossi coming back, because who's going to badmouth De Rossi in this city? Who's going to badmouth Claudio Ranieri in this city and in this situation? From just a purely PR point of view, this is a massive win for the Friedkins. The pitch comes later. Like, we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but what, in my opinion, what jumps at me is the fact that they just turned this situation. They flipped it, man. They flipped it, because honestly, anyone else coming in at this point, no matter what their qualification, even someone like Massimiliano Allegri, Do you know how much backlash you'd still get from fans who'd be like, well, you don't understand who we are. You don't understand our identity.
Juventino.
Mancini, Roberto Mancini, Laziale, this, that. So yes. There was no, in my opinion, there was no way to win this. And yet the Friedkins did it. By appointing Claudio Ranieri, they win no matter what.
They absolutely do. I couldn't agree with you more in that regard. And you have to give them credit in this aspect, Andy, because they do know. Because this is exactly what happened when you bring in Daniele De Rossi in place of Jose Mourinho. Now, I think there's two facets of making a decision. This, there is the PR, the marketing face of this sort of decision, where off the pitch, we're going to give that a bit more weight than the decision and how we feel about it than the actual pitch. But we can't ignore that aspect of the on the pitch part of this. We can get into the tactics later. It's not as if we need to go and break down Claudio Ranieri tactically. It is.
John, you know, I think we said the same exact thing 5 years ago. I do remember, like, you just making it clear that you know what you're getting with Claudio Ranieri.
Well, you do, though.
You do.
That's the good thing about appointing a 73-year-old then.
You can't be surprised. Like, it's just, you know, it's meat and potatoes, you know? That's the kind of, like, you know exactly what's coming your way. A classic 4-4-2, probably he will have to in some way adapt for certain kinds of players, because obviously Dovbyk is the only striker in this lineup, so we'll see what happens there. But that's it. You know exactly. So we can even say it from right now that someone like Mats Hummels will finally be able to breathe, hopefully. Yeah. Like, that's, you know, like, that finally we are going to unfrost him, we're gonna thaw him out. Same thing with Matias Soule. You know, are the people that can hope for a better tomorrow with Claudio Ranieri.
Hold on though, very quickly. Somebody in the, I will not name the individual, but somebody, Soule can be like our Mare, and part of me died when I read that with actual...
When you read the name, Mares, you died when you read that.
Just reading that comparison, there's about 5,000 things that need to be fixed before we even begin to make that comparison, or even juxtapose those two players to one another.
Well, but I think...
I understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
I understand the meaning and the intention behind it. The thing I want to get to, though, before talking about more of the on-the-pitch aspect of this, you know, there is a part of me that says, Claudio Ranieri, you retired from managing football. It is the 14th of November, less than half a year ago. Is it because it was Roma that you come back? And only because it is Roma and you feel an obligation, obviously, your boyhood club, where you've played, where you've managed, and you have an affinity and a permanent connection to this club forever. Is that the reason? And beyond that, did you do so because in your mind, the situation was a lot worse than perhaps you had initially thought? Because he flies to London in one of the three primary private jets of the Friedkins, and they meet. Where they were going to meet, relatively close to their office in the Mayfair town or district. I don't know what it is, but it's in London. Not far from the palace, by the way, Andy. Again, there's a metaphor in there somewhere. I just can't go digging for it at the moment. But they meet there, then they go to a hotel. So part of me wonders, was there something that he heard from Dan Friedkin where Claudio Ranieri felt like a firefighter, yeah? The house is on fire and I need to come put it out, or I need to help in some way, shape, or form, because I have to tell you, when I am 73 and hopefully retired at that point, I don't know what would bring me out of retirement
Are you crazy? I mean, come on, man. Like, sure. Like, that's that. Like, of course, nobody wants to come out at 73. You know, you just finished your career in Cagliari. You know, beautiful weather, beautiful beaches. You go back to
Rome. It smells like pineapple and herpes year round.
And you go back home, you go to Testaccio, you're sitting there with your wife, you know, you're enjoying TV shows, you wake up late, you get to read, you go for a walk in the city center. I mean, talk about a life. And then Dan Friedkin calls you with that Texan accent of his. You don't know what the hell's going on. And mind you, Claudio Ranieri, a lot of outlets brought it up, and it's true. Not even, I think 3 weeks ago, he was critical of Roma, as in he was critical of the situation. So, yes. And I don't remember which newspaper he spoke to, but it was about 3 weeks ago that an interview came out where he said, you know, the Friedkins, the situation is messy at Roma. There is a sense of messiness. There is a sense of that nobody's really in charge. And I think with this situation, the Friedkins have learned that putting money on the table is not everything. That's what more or less he said. So definitely Ranieri came into this with his idea, but perhaps that idea propelled him to accept this assignment in the first place, because
of course
him as a fan, as someone who's close to this place, to this team, to this city, he feels this stuff. He knows what's going on. He's very much in tune with it. But I do think also, as a 73-year-old who finished, you know, he was still hoping for a national team to call him up. He's been saying that ad nauseum since he retired. But we've said a number of times on here, like, this team, objectively on paper, is a good team in the sense that when was the last time that Claudio Ranieri could rely on players of the caliber of Paulo Dybala and Mats Hummels and Matias Sule and Manu Koné? When was the last time that he could turn to the bench and see those guys? I would argue since he left Roma in 2019. So that's what we're talking about, you know? That's what we're talking about. Obviously, in that Roma, there was still Steven Nzonzi, so I'm not sure if that he makes the cut. But that
Pastore,
that's what I...
Come on,
I,
man,
Pastore,
your boy.
But he was already in the infirmary at that point. I just think that we have to think that there is, on one hand, the recognition that the situation is bad and the need for intervening, and by doing so himself, he is kind of like continuing this romantic streak that he's been on with Cagliari. You know, he takes them back to Serie A, he saves them from relegation last year, and he retires, right? Beautiful. Well, now this is also very romantic. Roma, on their third coach, you know, with a good team on paper, a team that can be good. It's just struggling to unlock itself, but it can be good. Why not make yourself the protagonist of yet another fairy tale, since Claudio Ranieri has been already at the center of two fairy tales, right? Almost winning the Scudetto against the treble winning Inter side against Mourinho, and being the manager who comes back to save them once Francesco is sacked, the manager with whom Daniele De Rossi retires, right? Daniele De Rossi leaves on the very last match day. I think it was like a Roma-Parma game at the Stadio Olimpico, 2019. I even think that Perotti scored in that game. So that's what we're talking about. This is a third fairy tale, and it's very important, I think, not to underestimate it, because when you're so in tune with the environment like Claudio Ranieri, I mean, we all have egos. I do think that Claudio Ranieri also has his, you know, he's at home. His wife is making him his favorite meatballs. But deep down, he's like, you know, he's like a gangster. You know, you can never take it out of him. He's got to go back into the game at some point.
And for those who don't know, one of my favorite facts, trivia questions, the fact he named, he and his wife, I believe, Rosanna. They named their daughter Claudia. Fantastic. And Andy, I know you have to know this. You're far more attuned to cinema than myself. Who is she married to? Do you know?
No. What are we talking about? You have to introduce me to.
Okay. So you clearly then have not been watching or kept up with Italian cinema. Of late, at least. She is married to... See, now I've taken Alessandro Rocha. That's who it is.
I have no idea, John.
Not in a lot... There was one movie that people may know, Diabolic.
People Diabolic, may know that okay, one. Okay, okay.
But we're okay, getting way on, off yeah, of this.
So hold on.
So you brought something up though about him. You know, he's retiring, and of course he does have an ego, which I don't. Anybody in profession, when you reach those heights of professional football, I think everybody, at least to a certain extent, possesses an ego. But what I am looking for, in just in terms of additional insight, and of course publicly, is he really going to pull the veil off? I doubt it, but I would just love to hear him from his point of view. What has gone wrong with Roma, and what compelled you? Because man, you look at this career as a football manager of his, spanning several countries. Finally, winning the major Premier League trophy, the league title.
Talk about a roller coaster of a career. I mean, absolutely. Just success and failure hand in hand, year after year, no matter where, England, Spain, Greece. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
And if you look, particularly when he was in Serie A, Andy, I mean, he was with some very, very good teams. And it is amazing when you look at the number of clubs the guy was at, besides Roma, obviously, Chelsea, Juve. Just you go down these storied clubs that he was in charge of, and it took him all the way to Leicester City to finally capture that league title. And he is sort of that guy that always came so close or just missed out by that much. But we're talking about a career, Andy, that four decades that this guy has been managing. And there is just a part of me that says, when you have finally decided to hang it up, to take your well-deserved rest, something has to be at least somewhat very bad in your mind, where you see this Roma and you think one of two things. Oh my gosh, it is terrible. This can't go on. I love this club too much. Let me come in help. Or did he see something where, and I think you and I at least somewhat believe this, you look at this team top to bottom, it is not a team worthy of 12th position Serie A table. Maybe I am delusional when I say this, but I do not think the tactical, the character, the mental things that need to be done to get this team, just this group of players from top to bottom, this squad, I don't think it's as if we need to perform a lobotomy, Andy. I don't think that this requires some sort of intervention where you need to bring in somebody at the level of Pep. I truly do think this is just a small tactical tweak here, small tactical tweet there, and maybe just a modicum of belief in the manager. Because as you correctly pointed out in these recent weeks, as much as I wanted Ivan Juric to succeed, as much as I wanted Ivan Juric initially at Roma, doesn't matter what I want, Andy. If those players, clearly, there was something they heard.
John, I just want to say, not a single player posted anything. Like, and you know how players are. Like, they post stories, Instagram stories, to anything. I mean, they take a picture of a breadstick and they're going to dedicate a story to it. So
Matt Hummels is putting out the kidnapping photos, kidnapping adjacent photos of himself, looking at the time, which, by the way, was the metaphor of the season.
I still think, like Stefan El Shaarawy, you know, someone who lives on Instagram, nothing, not a single player said goodbye to Ivan Juric.
Yes.
I understand that it was only, 12 games, but that in my opinion, I mean, given what we've heard, given what we've seen, it says a lot.
That team rejected him.
So with Claudio Ranieri, it's like now everybody is sort of under examination because Claudio Ranieri has been, right now, he's been put in a position of complete power. As in, you're the coach until the end of the season because the Friedkins are not going to hire a fourth manager. You are the coach. You have full powers even after the season. You are in a senior executive role, so you stay at the club no matter what. Now it's up to the players. And now it's up to the players. It's up to the coach for Ranieri to do what Ranieri has always done in the context where he was allowed to work in peace, where he just did the minimum, like the minimum that was necessary for the team to survive, to play, you know, put the fullback in the position of a fullback, put the defender in the position of a defender, put the striker in front of goal, you know, don't have him run all over the pitch. Paulo Dybala plays this way. Okay, we're not going to have Paulo Dybala tracking players back and forth and losing precious energy. That's all. And I think that's what we've been missing all season long, because even with De Rossi, the man was so busy experimenting, tweaking the lineups, tweaking the formation. This team has no idea. We are in mid-November and this team still has no idea what they want to do on the pitch. That's all. Yes. So fundamentally, that's all we need to do is just simply instruct them what they need to do. Simple assignments, A to B, from A to B, and from B to A, back and forth. That's it. And that's how you get results. Like, it's so simple, but it's the way it is. It's like, it's the way Carlo Ancelotti was able to turn around with Real Madrid. Right. Carlo Ancelotti walks into Real Madrid. He just does that. He puts the guys in positions to succeed. He doesn't reinvent the wheel. He just does what needs to be done in order to succeed. And I'm not comparing, obviously, the curriculums of the two coaches. I'm just saying Ranieri has been known for doing that in the context where he was given the necessary time. So you look at Sampdoria, you look at most recently Cagliari, you know, before that, Valencia, Roma.
Yes.
He never was the creative genius, but through his very, you know, approachable, humane side, he was always able to talk to the players. The only times where he didn't, and his curriculum is full of these instances, was when he would ask to be, you know, to be brought in to save a situation that was impossible to save. Perhaps most recently it was Watford, you know, where I think he got like maybe one win in 14 games. So, but that team was hopeless. So that's what we can expect from Ranieri is to come in with an attitude of, I know what the problem is because I've been watching you guys from my couch for the past 6 months. Okay. I know what you guys are all about and I know what needs to be done in order to solve this situation. And the answer is very simple. Manu Koné is performing. I'm going to start you. You, whoever it is, you're not performing, you're going to be benched. You fit this profile, you fit this description. Okay, do you think you can play here? Fine, I'm going to put you in here. That's all. A nice classic 4-4-2, you know, perfectly in line with 1990, which is probably the last time Claudio Ranieri tried to come up with anything creative. And that's about it.
That is all you need. Very, very frankly, you've got your bread, you got your butter. Let's go. You are spot on when it comes to Ranieri as far as the tactics go. This is not a guy, because we know the Friedkin group. They love the analytics, those deeper datas that I think sometimes convolute the situation. Talking of XG, expected, all of these sort of very deep and insightful pieces of maths and data that says we need this guy who plays this. This is something that is about as elementary as you can get when it comes to football. You are spot on when he says he just simply puts players in the best position for them to succeed. Somebody mentioned Mahrez. He does that. Poete allows him to give him more space on wide out right. Allows him to operate with the ball more at his feet, take defenders on individually. This is something even in his first stint at Roma. We remember he did this thing where Bordisa and Mexes, they were never together on point. When one of them was having a crap season, the other was succeeding, and he had no problem from match to match, from season to season. Okay, you're starting. Nope, now yours. He's a pragmatist at heart. This is not somebody, as you alluded to, this is not somebody who is trying to create some new unforeseen way of playing football. This is the
yeah. We're not bringing in Roberto De Zerbi. We're not bringing
by no means the new kid
on the block who's gonna impress everybody and change the world of tactics. We're bringing in a 73-year-old who accepted to come into a really challenging situation, which I think very few managers would have wanted to. And I do think that when we look at this whole thing of how it came about.
But they need what Ranieri has, though, not De Zerbi. They don't need
They don't need, but that's what I think.
Exactly what Ranieri has.
That's what I think
has.
It says about the Friedkins. It says that they went back to the roots. They did.
Yes.
That's why I say they won, because they went back to what the fans wanted them to go back to, which is the roots. Go back to a certain kind of feeling that you had shown before dismissing De Rossi. Go back to where it all started. And with Claudio Ranieri, by bringing him in, it's a return to the roots, and at the same time, it's an admission of guilt, because, mind you, the Friedkins release a statement after appointing Ivan Juric saying, we are sure that Ivan Juric is the right coach to win trophies. Well, in retrospect, that was bullshit. It did not happen. That was not true. You can't convince me that the Friedkins, who gave Juric a 6-month or 7-month contract, ever thought of him being the coach who delivers the trophies to the club. You cannot convince me that was the case. You did not hire Juric to win trophies. You hired him in hope of him getting the team back alive, to show some kind of life. And that failed. With Ranieri, his appointment is a sort of, okay, we understand where you're coming from. We understand the criticism. Here it is. We are going back to the roots. We're bringing you a guy who most of you young fans grew up with. For most of you, he's like a beloved nonno. And here he is, you know? And this is as close as we can get right now to that feeling that you want us to be in touch with, that homecoming feeling of having a figure that the fans recognize, that the fans can relate to, and that the fans can communicate freely with.
Spot on. I think once again, they find themselves in a situation where wrong decision, and they are very, very attuned to supporters. Listen, I have to give them a lot of credit in that regard, Andy, wherein I think most would agree they took a bit too long to respond to the situation of Juric. But what they got wrong in timing, they made up for in substance in terms of this decision to appoint Claudio Ranieri. Because when we see some of the names that were thrown out there, we saw Roberto Mancini, which many expected, Montella, which I have already said this season embodies too much, 2010-2011, when he was at the helm, it was dreadful stuff. And he got figured out relatively quickly, by the way, because if you look at him, he goes to Catania, I believe, for one or two seasons. Then he goes to Fiorentina.
Let's not go there.
It's been downhill.
He's doing well for Turkey, so good for him. But yes, definitely.
Yeah, no.
If we go down the list of managers that were linked to us, there was probably, I think, except for Maurizio Sarri, where I think most of the fans were like, because that's okay, no matter with Lazio past, because you want to get this team actually playing football, which Maurizio Sarri does. So okay, but except for that, there was really no consensus, no understanding of who do we want to continue this season. You know, that was the thing. There was complete and utter chaos.
I saw an article, because this is what sort of spurs the thought within me as to thinking, what is their mindset in terms of this next decision? I think that, because I read an article that said clearly Roma has no plan in place with the appointment of Claudio Ranieri. They have no plan. I guess I can somewhat see how they could form that opinion, but just because they made wrong decisions, that doesn't mean there is no plan in place. Clearly, they do have a plan.
I do want to say, though, that, you know, it's like with appointing De Rossi, right? There was a plan behind it. I still think when they appointed De Rossi in the first place, they bring him in an emergency situation. But I do think there was a plan behind it. And I said many times that Tommaso Baldanzi signing, you know, the permanent signing of Tommaso Baldanzi does not happen if De Rossi is not part of some larger project at Roma. I do think that just like De Rossi's appointment, Ranieri's return is what we in Italy call a paraculata, right? So it's what you do when you want to save your own ass, okay? That's what the Friedkins are doing right now. At the same time that they are trying to, you know, to stabilize the situation, bring in a veteran, someone who's got a lot of credibility with the media and the fans in a difficult moment, they're also bringing him in to save their own ass, to save their own ass from criticism, to shield themselves in this really tense atmosphere. So there is that, you know, and obviously it's how it works. I mean, the sports is a stage. And just like with Mourinho's appointment, Mourinho wasn't brought in for his tactics. Mourinho was brought in for what he represents. Mourinho was brought in to be the live link with the fans. He was brought in to be the figure, just like Daniele De Rossi was brought in, not because he showed promising things against Spal, but because he represented something in the mind of Roma fans that made sense, was a nice continuity, given what Mourinho had inspired in the fan base. And I do think that, all things considered, Ranieri is the sort of the perfect successor to De Rossi, skipping over this unsuccessful Juric tenure.
Yes,
sort of the natural conclusion to this cycle. Like, that's who you want to lead Roma after sacking Daniele De Rossi, in the sense that Daniele De Rossi's sacking was so brutal in the eyes of the fans that Ranieri is the only guy whom the fans will allow to guide them by the hand. If Ranieri tomorrow has a press conference, I think at 12 or 1, he comes in and says, you know, fans, Romanisti, listen to me. We'll get through it. Roma fans will believe him, okay? They'll buy into him. If you put Roberto Mancini there and you have him say that same exact thing, it's not going to work. That's why you appoint Claudio Ranieri for the third time.
You are absolutely correct. And just getting back very quickly to what I was saying in terms of the plan, I would actually argue if they went out and they did appoint somebody like Mancini or Allegri, it would almost feel as if they were doing so, Andy, just to appease, in terms of wanting to make a statement that they are committed, or they do understand it has been crap this season, so we are going to appoint the easy name, the big name, the one everybody recognizes. I actually, and again, maybe this is me just tricking myself into this, being completely deluded, because the prospect of doing the death march for 6 months is far too overwhelming to me. So maybe that there is some truth to that. But the fact that they are making it clear, he's going to be here this season. He's going to guide us through, and that's it. But we're going to keep him here as a consultant to help us understand what sort of profile we need moving forward in terms of manager. I would say it actually shows they have a very coherent plan because they are not forcing the issue. They are not forcing the need to appease supporters to get a big name in replacement of Ivan Juric. I would say if they went out right now and they just went after the managers that are available that can join you today, Sarri, Allegri, Mancini, does that move the needle or does that give you much belief that things will improve immediately? And by the way,
it will bring in a lot of questions, and I do think
many
that,
question marks.
A lot
you
of
put the
question
entire
marks.
Squad into question, Andy, immediately
and,
on day one.
And Ranieri instead is sort of like the calming presence that you bring in just to get by yourself some time and plan the future. That's what you're doing, and I do think that that's. I mean, so many reports in recent days, you know, spoke basically of January as the apocalypse of, you know, six players leaving, you know, Paredes, Hummels, Samuel Dahl, Pellegrini, Cristante leaving, you know.
Paredes leaves tomorrow. Does anyone notice? I mean, come on, what are we talking about here?
I do think, obviously, that there is some reflection going on behind the scenes of what is clearly not working for Roma in the long term. But with Ranieri, you are calming the waters. With anyone else, you are creating even more noise around the team. Because as soon as someone like Mancini or Allegri or Sarri, you give them a long-term contract, tomorrow morning, you find yourself with 20 articles saying that this player doesn't fit him, this other player doesn't fit him, he wants this guy on the market, he wants that guy on the market, and that's what Roma don't need at this point. What Roma need at this point is a stable guide that will take them over the hump, not have them overperforming, but steady the ship and have them improve in the areas that they clearly can improve, and we know that they can improve, such as scoring, such as not conceding goals, such as having guys who haven't seen much of the pitch yet see the pitch. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to watch, because something that we can all agree on is that Roma have been tedious to watch. With Ranieri, you're immediately giving the fans a reason to tune in. What Roma fan will not want to tune in to see Claudio Ranieri on the sidelines once more?
You hit the nail on the head. There are so few names, Andy, that when you appoint them, they get an immediate and unilateral consensus from the media to the supporters, which in this environment cannot be understated. We say it all the time, the ambiente Roma. This place is very particular, very unique. We see it play out when you have this very strong faction of the, we call them the 1.0 supporters, where it's, we want to play with Roma, Roma, Roma. If you were born outside of, if you are not from the city, you have no place here. It doesn't matter if we finish, you know, 15th or 16th in the table. As long as there are 11 Romans on the pitch, that is all they care about. You have others that, you know, they want nobody from Rome to play in the team because we never win. So get rid of that part of it. There are so many factions. And this is a very, very fickle group of supporters. And again, Andy, besides Claudio Ranieri, Daniele De Rossi, Totti, is there a manager that you appoint tomorrow and you get unilateral agreement, applause?
No, that's the thing. We started with this podcast. Even Vincenzo Montella, I once again want to reiterate it, would not have sparked enthusiasm. Rather, it would have been the engine to even more doubts and fears about where this team is going. And so Claudio Ranieri is the perfect short-term solution, which is what you want in November. That's all I'm saying is in November, you don't want something like that. Where you don't want someone whom you will sign for 3 years with this sense of, okay, now we have to, all of a sudden things are going bad and we have to take a decision that will mark the next 2 years. No. What you want in November is to have the certainty that things will be steady until the end of the season, and that's when you plan the future. That's exactly what you get with Claudio Ranieri. You get a reassurance that until the end of the season, no matter what, he'll have the fans by his side.
Correct. You're not going to get a manager who comes in and, as you pointed out, demand this sort of player, that sort of player. He has his team. He has his very, very straightforward way of playing. And I quite frankly think just the calm and a very likable manager. Andy, it says more, if there are players that have an issue with this guy now, after having an issue with Ivan Juric, there is no, if you can't get along with one of the most kind, one of the most easygoing, polite, forget managers, individuals that exist in all of football, not just Italian football. It's nearly impossible to not get on with Claudio Ranieri. If there is someone within the squad that cannot turn it around and get on with him and get on with him now, we are wasting our time even debating what the issue is, because it is them. We will leave it there. Let us know what you think. Finally, a bit of calm. We know that there are some out there that were very upset that Roma did not make the big splash, but listen, when the home is on fire, you need somebody. Just, it's okay to have somebody to come put out the fire before we start worrying about where we are going to build the next home. Let's enjoy. This is actually nice, Andy. I thought we were going to have to come on here and discuss the tactical nuances of Massimiliano Allegri and break down how this player or that player would fit in a three-man defense. I am so glad that did not happen. Let's just see what happens. It can't be worse than what we saw. Fingers crossed. We will see you in a few days. Until next time, everyone. Ciao.